All right, yeah. Right, so we're ready to make a start. Just to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Assume everyone can hear me clearly anyway. Members of the public should remain seated through the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind members of the Council of their obligation under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such interest, please declare it now or immediately before the item starts of business related. You have to declare an interest. Members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion of that item and should not take part in any vote. Are there any apologies?
We have apologies from Councillor Andrews, McMurray, Carr and Enright, and from Eddie Curtis, Adam Wilkinson.
All right. Is there any declarations of interest? No. All right, no declarations of interest. Right, we're going to take the members of the committee once away to another meeting, so we're going to take the closed items first. That will take us, we start at item 17 for that. So for these items or closed sessions, the items are deemed to be set on the paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including counsel, holding that information by the public may resolve be excluded during the terms of business. So we're asking anyone to the press and the public to leave for this session. I want a proposer for that and the second of that. Proposed second. Indeed, huh? So we go to item 17. Right, so the we want to let him back in. Right, the first item under this closed session is item number 17, that's management of accounts. So Doreen is going to take that.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you're asked to know tonight the management accounts for the first quarter of the 17-18 financial year. That is the 3 months ending the 30th of June. You have a detailed report in your pack tonight. Key issues just to bring to your attention then, the overall position of the management accounts at the quarter one period showing a positive.
Did Michael take it?
The action sheet.
Yeah.
Do you have to do the three items in it?
Just oppose or second?
Okay. All
right. So the will have those written on the end?
Okay, so just for the purposes of the case, then you need to read I just want more something from the session. So, yeah. Can you send to the tip back on? Sarah, do you tip back on? Yes? Yeah.
Right, in the closed session, the following items were agreed. Item 17, management accounts. Agreed to note the management accounts in the first quarter of 17-18 financial year on the 3 months ending the 30th of June 17. Item 18, lease agreement unit 1, Warren Point Square. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Dorn, to note the contents of Dolphin's report and approve recommendation in paragraph 3.0 that the Council agreed to the early termination of the lease in respect of Unit 1, the Square Warren Point, and seek to identify a new tenant via an interest. With a rent review being carried out before letting to the new tenant. Item 19, regarding the four store and the proposal of Councillor Ruan, second by Councillor Walker, to approve the recommendation of 3.0 of the Office report to proceed to finalise the new head regulation four store leasing agreement with Newry and Mourne with the Crown Estate, in line with the recommendations listed in paragraph 3.1 and 3.8 of the Office report. Item 20, complaint to the Ombuds regarding Mourneview Caravan Park on the proposal of Councillor Rowan, second by Councillor Murray, to authorise a compulsory payment to the summed outline in the officer's report in paragraph 3.1 as recommended by the Ombudsman. Item 21, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin and second by Burgess to agree that the same changes listed in paragraph 3.1 of Dolphin's report in relation to substructural design, structural concrete columns, curtain walls and windows lifts to the second floor works and the visual pool, totaling the sum as detailed in the Dolphin's report, also noting that the overall contained value remains within the agreed spend.
In relation to item 22, a request for redundancy approval. It was proposed by Councillor Ruan and seconded by Councillor O'Murray that the content of the officer's report be approved. An amendment was put forward, proposed by Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Mernon, that the officer's report be referred back to the officers for further consideration and report back to committee. And the amendment was carried by 5-4.
Right, 23, the Wi-Fi agreed to note the content of the Office report outlining the approach to determine whether and when the new Wi-Fi solution will be deployed. Item 24, in the minutes of the Efficiency Working Group held on the 15th of May, a proposal of Councillor Dorn, second by Councillor Ryan, agreed to note the minutes of the Working Group. Item 25, in the Strategic Working Group, agreed to note the minutes of the Strategic Working Group if on the proposal of Councillor Mornan was the only one to propose that. All right. All right. Unanimous. All right. So we're back to the agenda. Back to number three, the action sheet of the meeting of the 15th of June. I propose on second half of the action sheet.
Number of issues, of course, Chair.
Huh?
Number of questions on the action sheet.
Number of questions on the action sheet. Go ahead.
Page 5, the identification of the 50 community groups to progress the audit of effectiveness of the community centres. I had raised at the last meeting for this body work to be going through the DEA. And I know it does say here that the proposals for improvement to be progressed through the DEAs, but it's my point was selection of the groups as well, to discuss with the DEA as for the community groups using the centres. Now, I suppose it probably was down simply, Johnny had said that this is the AHC director and that it would be referred to the director of AHC or Commons. And I see that it has been finalised. I suppose it probably was down the time frame, but I just want a wee bit of clarity on the groups and how they were selected, just to ensure that there's equity across, it's equitable across the district. You know, if you don't want rural areas have no groups that's using them, as long as there's one from each centre or consultant and how that body of work was carried out.
Okay.
That's the first point.
Okay, we'll have to refer that to Active and Healthy and get an explanation back to you, Councillor. That information's not available tonight.
Yep.
So apologies if that's been marked fully completed in error, and we'll keep that element on and we'll get someone
to speak to you. Thanks. Maybe it's fully completed and I accept that, but it's just that the 50 groups came from
Equitable
across the district. And also on page seven on the regional pay briefing, and it was stated that the chair and deputy chair of SPNR to attend the regional pay briefing, and I suppose I don't know what happened on this proposal, because I had attended it on behalf not of this committee, but because the chair and deputy chair of council weren't able to make it at the time, because down through the chairs of the committee, and I suppose this probably wasn't presented to the chair and vice chair of this committee, so I came down to myself. So just on that proposal, it went to chair and vice chair of the council. A few sort of points to make on that. I don't know, Doreen, if there was any officers present.
There was, yeah. We had one of our HR managers, Louisa Simons, attended on behalf of the officers.
Okay. Is this a body of work that, I suppose, as we're working towards the living wage in the next 2 to 3 years, is this a body of work that will this committee has to look at starting now or through the efficiencies working group? Because as you well know yourself, to move from 778 on the lowest pay point up to possibly in and around 9, 9, 10 is going to put considerable strain on the finances and the rates process as well, coming year on year, and especially when we're looking at a completely new pay spine and moving, deleting the bottoms, I think it's 4 or 5 points, so moving everybody up above the living wage or the foundation wage. I know from that meeting or the consultation that over the next 2 years there's a consultation with all councils, and I suppose for this committee and through the efficiencies working group to know how many people are on them pay brackets from 6 to 9 and what's going to be the effect on our council, because the salaries is a huge part of the expenditure of the council, and it does make a difference when we go into the rates process going forward of how ambitious we're going to be in the capital programme. Because we could have a very ambitious capital programme there of 100 million, and we know that we have this coming on top where we could have between 2 and 5% increase on all the pay structures, all the pay points. So that body of work to start straight away, and is it through the efficiencies working group that we'll do that, or through this committee?
Okay. We will, obviously, the two big pieces of work that we went into in some detail as part of the Rate 7 process last year, the capital programme, as you mentioned, and the salaries bill. We are a big employer and we carry a big salaries overhead. So you'll recall last year, it'll be my intention to do the same this year through the efficiencies working group in that Rate 7 process, is to bring back and highlight all of those statutory or legislative changes that are going to come in over the next 4 years as we're aware of them, and have a calculation as to what effect that will have on our pay bill. The department are already, Department of Communities are already liaising with a lot of the councils to try and ascertain, and we've been providing information as asked from them to coordinate and ascertain the numbers of staff who are below minimum wage, and we've been able to verify that there's no one in this council who's paid below minimum wage. So they're starting to do that piece of work as well. So we will all be working collectively over the next while on that. So it has already started, Councillor, that piece of work and our involvement in it. But in terms of putting figures to it, it'll be as part of the rates process is where I will see us discussing that in some detail.
Just on one point that you made there, Dorina, you're saying that nobody in the council is below minimum wage. That's what it's set now and where we're trying to get to, because legislatively we're going to have to move in that direction, and we're going to be pushed rightfully so, sooner rather than later. I suppose it's waiting for 2 years then to see that huge bill put on top of the council, that we should be getting ready for that and moving off them lower pay points. So when you're saying below minimum wage as well as sitting now, we do have people in the council that's below pay point 9.
I wouldn't know pay point 9 now off the top of my head. I don't know if between a view of those figures, though. We can probably look
at, I suppose,
into
we can
try
it on the efficiency group.
Yeah.
It's just
to
note from the conference that we need to be moving in that direction before legislation comes in.
Yeah.
And I know, and political uncertainty, we don't know in the next 2 years how quick that will be. And, we could be talking about in 2018 about bottom loading the lower pay points, because they're the ones that you're going to lose, have the most increase on. So bottom loading them, straightening out the gaps between the pay points or making them more equal. But I think the introduction of a new pay point as well is going to be, it's a lot for this committee or the efficiencies working group to take on board, and we have a capital program as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to be careful, don't bite off more than we can chew, because it's the biggest expenditure on the council, and in the next 2 years in this council term, it's something that we have to deal with, and we should be moving towards the living wage without, before it becomes legal,
Mm-hmm.
Do you happy enough then?
Are you happy enough? Do you want to
propose for those?
Propose after those minutes? Propose, Councillor Bourne, second, Councillor Rowan. Item 4 is a presentation on community planning. Johnny, you're going to take that?
Thank you. Just wait there a second. I'm going to be useful just to bring an hour up to date as to where we are on the partnership bid. Members of appraisal of the current situation, give you some sense of the lessons learned today. We're 2 years into it and some of the emerging issues, and then give members a sense of what we're doing over the next 6 months within the partnership. In terms of the background key drivers, we suppose there are four. It's important to reach here. These two have local government reform, but I suppose if you look at the vision of the Secretary of Defence some time ago, it's all about delivering better outcomes for the community and local people, and the community planning legislation. Transferring functions, I suppose, should also be seen in that context as well. So that's part of the rationale of the way central government transfer and function, which allows central government to actually make certain skills outcomes when led with the legislation. You then have a draft program for government, and I suppose the central government particularly sees the community plan as an important way of cascading and increasing priorities down to the local level. And then coupled with that, are a key piece of legislation. The Local Government Act 2014, which gives us that new subject duty. But also then the Community Planning Partners Order of 2016, which really complies with the participation of key statutory partners in this new process. That's all on the picture by our collecting these robust evidence base at the local level, which is supposed to assist us in identifying and prioritizing the systems of our key members and our partners once we address the new work. In terms then of the current situation, two schools key points I want to bring members' attention to. But we have a final plan published in April this year, and that was really on the back of quite 2 years of extensive and widespread consultation and particularly identifying what the issues are from here going down. We've also recently, at the last partnership meeting at the end of June, agreed initial 2 year delivery plans for the 14 phase of the actual community plan. So we have them around health and well-being, around economic development, regeneration, tourism, environment, space development, and then finally on escaping. Members will always be aware of the changing degrees of things like the effects of work between parents and PCSP structure. In terms then of the delivery plans themselves, I suppose the two key guiding principles that the partnership signed up to. One was aligning existing partnering activities in the first year, but also harnessing those existing partnerships and structures for all the areas. The key message coming from the partnership was that there was no point in the event when there were a lot of resources already deployed. To say that we needed to challenge them, but particularly when there was no new money in the system, it was important to utilize what is already there. What I would also say to the committee is that a lot of the actions for example, we've been mapping a lot of what our partners do across the things of the community plan. I suppose to get a better understanding what is currently done in our district, where it's been done on the boom, and even that has allowed us to get into challenge some of the duplication that exists, but also identify where the gaps are and where we need to address those. And then finally, there's another thing we want to pick up is around where we can, focusing on the no cost wins. And maybe if you need an example of the data research across the district, there's currently a lot of agencies involved in actually providing those data points, those for NI, Alliance, for example, but there's no way actually to gain the information to provide it to the public where they are data. So one of the quick ways to identify is actually the kind of performing or creating that, mapping that, and then making our citizens know where they can be. So if you think about how that might be getting us to mitigate cardiac issues, particularly where we have issues around response times and issues between our ambulance service and even some of the real issues we experience in our district. In terms then of the governance, again, members should be really aware of this structure. What I would like to draw members' attention to are a number of workshops that are being planned in September and October, which are really about exploring and strengthening the links between the DEA structures and the community planning structures that they've currently put. And members be aware that this is actually essentially the operation of those systems, depending on right now we have a community plan in place to begin to understand how the referrals work. More importantly, how we can actually begin to cascade some of the outcomes of the community plan down to a specific geography. So please watch that space in that regard, and we'll be pleased to come out to members on that to explore those solutions. And in terms of some of the lessons learned and learning issues, again, maybe a couple of things we're going to pay members' attention to. One of the big issues for us is actually getting very deep when we understand what community planning is and also its benefits. And what we're doing in October is we're having a community plan fortnight where with our partners we'll be going into the local communities and CEA and actually undertaking a series of events really to show our wider public what is involved in community planning and more importantly what is benefits and how they can get involved. So I think that's something that's serious that clearly a lot has to do over a longer period of time to actually demonstrate that we're actually going to make a difference. The other thing is around missing partners. I suppose we're at the infancy of this process. We have a challenge to date where not all of the strategy partners have come around the table. That's something that we're actually working on behind the scenes and actually involved in the process. I suppose from a partner perspective, sometimes they seem to find things like not the social form, and so they're breaking down those barriers and trying to get more of a longer term relationship to actually try to prevent issues arising as opposed to reacting to them in the future. I've mentioned about the strength in the list of EAs and other partnerships that we can have working with. There is, Chair, an issue around leadership and resource challenges, particularly for the Council. Under the legislation, we are responsible for driving the process and facilitating, but the true partnership is going to work. It will require a strategic partner in particular to allocate their resources to the alignment of priority. And they know that the GPT idea will be exploring with the local health trust. Like, for example, they might perform a leadership role around well-being and life working group. So that's something that we'd like to accelerate in terms of discussions with the partnership, particularly towards the end of this year and into next year, to see if we can actually secure an enhanced leadership role across the key partners in terms of this way. And then finally, maybe something that could draw your attention to is maintaining those program involvement links. It makes sense that where we have common problems across one another, that we can develop common solutions. Let me give you an example of that, being consolidation of experience around the world. Suppose that there was a level we not have to scale, and so it makes sense that we could, for example, get into a collaborative room and provide them with the speech and the extent of problems across the region. So that's the sort of thing we're trying to force that as we need to develop. In terms then of a way to move forward, we're now moving into that delivery stage where the partners must agree to those delivery plans and suppose the agenda will shift to monitoring their implementation. And as part of that, we will be addressing the future purpose and role of the thematic working groups. So we can be much more effective in coordinating that activity between the table board by all of our partners. We're also looking at the timing opportunities to develop local community capacity. The important point there is our local communities need to be aware of and receptive to plan interventions and some around those higher level community planning outcomes. And again, you'll see the director of business plan also begin to reflect where we can see more amenities in the local departments, which are maybe going to be the same sort of goals. I'm sorry that I don't have a final thought.
Hi, thanks for that, Johnny. Any queries or questions? Everyone happy enough? Councillor Sharman?
Just a couple of questions in relation to the backing information that's related to Johnny's presentation. Obviously, we've seen the thematic group's priority areas previously. There is some questions that I have. Is a lot of the information is 4 years old. And from my memory, I can't remember where we got from, and I assume it's from NISRA and the census. But surely there is more up-to-date information that we can take into consideration, you know, around jobs and around a number of other things. You know, one example is the industrials area that was set aside within the area plan 2009. Where 25 hectares was set aside, and actually there's nearly 22 that's left. Off that, you know, there surely is more information that's more accurate. Under the environment, you did mention broadband, and when I was reading this again last night, not against Sleep Guardian or Sleep Crew, but I have residents that get 0.2 meg, you know, up speed within the Downpatrick area. And I'm certainly tackling that from my own point of view. So it's being conscious of how that is solved. Health and well-being, especially around the mental health part, to me, it's too much about mapping and linking into existing programs. Those programs are already supporting. What is there now? What are we as a council actually going to do to address what isn't currently being met by what is existing? You know, it's fair and well linking in and bringing things together, but actually that's not addressing the issue fully. So what will this community plan and these groups actually deliver to address mental health and other areas within health and wellbeing? It just feels like we're using what is now and it's not going to make any improvement. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. And we'll just take Councillor Long and then I'll take him, Johnny.
Yeah, just a couple of things, Johnny. The on the public sector employment aspect of it, you know, the only partner here is Newry Mourne Down District Council, and the public sector jobs are very important, particularly up this side of the district. And the old Down Council, we did have public sector jobs, I can't think of the name, we didn't call it a committee, it was something else, task force, yeah, who did some excellent work. Produced pamphlets and lobbied down in Stormont. You know, and I just wondered, is it every time that we resurrected that group again? For there was people from all sectors there, and I'll say the work they did was very good in that. And just on the health one, is it deliberate that there's no mention of the hospitals or any of the facilities that we have across the district in this paper?
Hey, Tony, you want to take them?
What we're trying to do
job, we haven't begun to have that real hand out and actually produce that for your consumption and be our partners in continuing communicating about things sooner than they currently are. We're all aware of the issues, and you know, we have to do heat maps showing particularly where you know, some areas of our district are concerned about the provision. And it goes back to the point that nearly more than government isn't really going to have an awful lot of its own, and it really needs to be working on the sub-regional and other regional basis. So that's certainly the key message on that from the partnership. And you know, if Miami is going on exactly as the case, obviously, I'm sure that will be picked up as a key issue for them moving forward. In terms of health and well-being, I take a point around the existing programs, but I suppose one of the challenges we have with our partners is that to create that sense of urgency to change things, we actually have to demonstrate the reasons behind the change. And you know, that is why I mentioned that it's a useful exercise to identify what's already there, because we will see in black and white, and we will see in any kind of mapping, the overlapping, the basis, and indeed where they got to. So the aim is to move to the actually intervening new proper improvement, but particularly with certain strategy partners in the area, so in a way, another cancer emergency conflict, public sector jobs, so maybe a media comment, but the council had a business advisory forum established, which is going to advise the council around what you think it is affecting the economy. I suppose in the news of the community grant, it reflects the wider economic state of the entire district, and I know the public sector job is a key thing to impact, and it has been recognized in the past. But I mean, I would refer to the price of that business advisory forum and the experience from starting to make more investment in the future in that regard. With regard, Chair, to the hospital facility, well, there's an item here on the agenda about the Chamber Reference for Health Working Group, which I imagine we'll look at that. But I suppose the ambition of the community plan is quite preventive people going to the hospital. And in the medium and longer term, then actually dealing with the short-term issue of where the hospital facilities are. But the city plan is a non-demand, so it's important to move the time to demand for that.
Thanks for that, Tony. All right. Item 5, LDP steering group. Andrew, you're going to take that?
Thank you, sir.
Well,
in relation to the Local Development Plan Steering Group. The purpose of the report for members is to seek members' agreement to set up a steering group for the production of the Local Development Plan. The purpose and background regarding the establishment of a steering group is set out in the report. The steering group will be the coordinating body that will oversee the management of the Local Development Plan. And the membership in terms of reference of the steering group now need to be considered and agreed by the council. In terms of membership, from an officer's perspective, it's suggested that the steering group consists of the chief executive, the director of regulatory and technical services, the chief planning officer, and the principal planning officer. In respect of members, it is important that elected members' representation involves all political groupings and is reflective of members on both the planning committee and this committee. And on this basis, suggested that consideration be given to the membership as set out in the report. A terms of reference for the steering group has also been drafted for council approval, and this is provided in Appendix 1. Subject to members' agreement, it's proposed to have the first meeting in September. And members are requested to note the content of the report, and the committee is asked to agree that a steering group be set up for the Local Development Plan, membership of the steering group as suggested in the report, the terms of reference as provided in Appendix 1, and that the first meeting of the steering group be held in September this year. Thank you.
So agreed, just have the terms of reference there that's been before the party leaders have agreed, yeah?
Yeah. Proposed. And second. Proposed. As well. It's the second of that.
Sorry, I was just going to make a couple of points.
Right.
About the membership.
Right.
But they're going to make a membership. And I'm given a bit of thought.
All right.
Members of the party as well. And we would have put forward the proposal that instead of one member from the planning committee, which is the dominant thing, that would be increased to at least two from the planning committee and then one from this committee, SPNR, because of the intimate relationship there is between people who are working on the planning committee and actually what's happening on the ground, and you know how they have related to that over the last couple of years and the problems there are. And with all respect to the members of this committee, they do have quite an intimate knowledge of what actually is starting to develop on the ground. That's why I'm suggesting that there would be two Sinn Féin, two SDLP, and instead of combining one DUP, one UP, to make up their minds, that the one from each of those parties, and then one from the SPR committee, or two, whatever way they want to work that out, and one independent, but up that. So, with the emphasis on planning, because if you look at, I looked it up in good practice, actually, they did, that a lot of our councils have actually had the whole planning committee has actually been on, has been a steering committee. So, this is a slight variance here, so that's what I have been proposing. That just one extra member from the two bigger parties, and then one DUP, one UUP.
You would have to read it. There's all councillors deal with planning on a regular basis, and is well updated on it too, because you know they can represent people on that. So, are you proposing?
Is that a change to?
Yeah, it is a change. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Membership. Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, as it's read there, pardon? Sorry. Yes, it was two, you know, as it's read down, instead of reading two Sinn Féin, three Sinn Féin, in all, it was two from the planning committee, one from SPR, three SDLP, two from the planning committee, one SPR, and as read the DUP, it seems to be one DUP, one UUP, one from planning committee and one from SPNR. I would have suggested that there would be maybe two. And, well, I think there's only one, two and one, and then one. But the predominance would be from that particular, would be from the planning committee members. That's what I was trying to emphasise here in this.
I think we all deal with planning.
Oh,
well, yeah, that's true. You know.
If you read up, actually, about, you would have found that throughout these islands, it's the full planning committee actually do this normally, when they do. Not all committees. But
Maybe with the planning committee being so busy, maybe it'll be less pressure off them. Right, we have the proposals. These are read as the party leadership, I assume.
Does it go to the party leadership?
Yeah, Chairman, it was discussed, and this is the paper as has been put forward to the party leaders. But again, you know, the party leaders is only really a political question. You know, it's an amendment put forward. My understanding is an amendment of the paper here,
yeah.
And certainly it's entirely up to members of this committee to put recommendations through.
Fair enough. Councillor Barnes.
Yeah, Liam, sort of, you made me point there for me, I think, or you're sort of laying towards it. Yeah, we constantly hear it's a decision made at the party reps. The party reps is advice.
No, it's no decision.
It doesn't make
decisions.
I suppose, as the proposal sitting, reading the paperwork, in other areas, all the planning committees are on this board. I do see the sense in SBNR being on it, and I think the proposal of 2 and 1 is quite sensible.
So, is everyone agreed to the change? That change, isn't it?
Yeah?
Right, we take the proposal as amendments. All right, everyone agreed?
Can we just be clear on the proposal, Councillor? So, in terms of total membership, that would be increasing from the total membership of 7 to 9. Yeah. Three additional. Okay. Okay. That's where we're losing it. Yeah.
But to you, conscious big parties, is either this is the DUP. Putting an extra bonus on the DUP, and I don't know, has that been discussed with the DUP? But the point is that the unions only got one on the planning committee, DUP have got two on the planning committee, so you're asking the two DUP to also sit in this committee. But could we maybe leave it that we agree that with the DUP if they're happy with the representation?
Chairman, before you go any further, I'm going to propose that we accept that as was recommended.
All right. All right. You take the amendment first. All right.
Right. Chair, can we just get clarity on who's able to vote on this?
Huh?
Who's able to vote on
this? Only members of this committee.
Only members of the committee.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're taking the amendment first. Those in agreement. Those against the amendment?
Four.
Now we take the proposal. Those in agreement?
Main proposal.
Main proposal. Four. All right. Those against? No one against. All right.
Abstentions.
All right. That's fine. Andy, you're also taking item six.
This next item is in relation to member workshops. And again, the purpose of this report is to seek members' agreement for a series of members' workshops to inform the preparation of the local development plan. Again, the purpose and background regarding proposed workshops is set out in the report, and further details, including the proposed themes and topic areas, are provided in Appendix 1. We're proposing a series of four workshops, and provisional arrangements have been made to hold them in October. And subject to members' agreement, detailed arrangements for the delivery of each of the workshops, timing, location, finalised format, will be confirmed and invitations sent out to members. So members are requested to note the content of the report and asked to agree the for a series of four local development plan member workshops. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy, for that. Any queries on that? Happy enough? Councillor Lawrence, eh?
Just a proposal for noting.
All right.
And I suppose just from following on from the last item, and the workshops will be even more important now, because based on the recommendations of having the knowledge from the planning committee, and the proposal of the amendment was to be weighted more to the planning committee than the SPNR. And we're now weighted more to SPNR than the planning committee, so I hope all the SPNR people that are on the panel will go to these workshops and get educated more on the planning issues. But yeah, I'll propose something.
Okay. And the second for that? All right. You're also taking item 7, it's just for an open.
Item 7 is just for an open.
All right.
I'm pleased to say to the committee that we respect of the council's statement of community involvement, which was approved by council back in June, we've now received agreement from the department. The issues raised are on a minor title, so I think that's a good endorsement of the government that was doing it for you.
All right, thank you for that, Heather. Item A, Virginia, you're going to take this consultation engagement framework.
Mr. Chairman, Yuri Moran District Council is committed to listening to and engaging with a very wide range of stakeholders in order to respond to their needs and achieve outcomes for all. And we want to ensure as a council that our policies and programmes are aligned to our corporate vision and, very importantly, are informed by understanding and, where appropriate, respond to the needs. So to enable us to do so, the council has developed a robust and meaningful consultation engagement framework that will actively encourage local people to have a voice on local issues that affect them. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it creates a foundation for us to build a common understanding and coordinated approach to consultation and engagement by the council in support of sound decision-making process. We will develop a consultation engagement toolkit to actually enable us to deliver in terms of this, which is inclusive, meaningful and effective. We will work very closely with the community planning section when undertaking consultation, because it's very important that the information from the consultation engagement is fed back into a central repository within that section. So So that's it's for referencing and for shared learning and application. And obviously then all findings from our consultation engagement will be fed back through the decision-making process, and our governance arrangements will be such that it will go and permeate right through the council, through directors, to the SNT and to the relevant committee to full council. So, Mr Chairman, I'm asking please that the council adopt the consultation engagement framework and approve the development of the consultation engagement toolkit.
I hear for a proposal and a second for that. Proposed. Councillor Moore, second. Councillor Jarvan.
Yeah, Chair, just a quick question on the actual toolkit. It's sort of an understanding of what the toolkit will look like. Will it be an off-the-shelf purchase? And what is the cost of the actual toolkit? And I assume that when we meet stakeholders, that it's the media requests as well that we receive, and so we get complaints about, and then the engagement part is community groups and businesses and all.
Engagement stakeholders encompasses all stakeholders right across the spectrum. In terms of the toolkit, it is, as its name suggests, Mr. Chairman, it's a toolkit to help us. It will identify the process, you know, and detail the processes that we will undertake to ensure that all of our consultation and engagement is effective, meaningful, and inclusive. To do it properly, I don't have a cost in terms of this yet, but you're not talking anything excessive. You know, I want to make sure. Also, on a very important point, it must as well ensure that it aligns to our obligations as outlined in our Section 75 of our quality scheme. So.
Thank you. I'm sure Mark, and you
agree. Yeah, it's just like, are these going to be delivered through the DEA for us?
The consultation, Mr. Chairman, it's all of the relevant officers. So yes, consultation will be delivered in many different ways, and obviously the DEA, yes, of course, would be one mechanism to which we would consult. Yes.
All right, thanks for that. And you have a proposal and a second for that. You're also taking item 9, section 75, policy screening report.
Mr. Chairman, we are obliged as part of our equality scheme and under the legislation to report quarterly in terms of any policies within council that are screened on a quarterly basis. This is just the policy screening report for the quarterly period April to June 2017, and members, Mr. Chairman, are asked to note the contents of it.
It's for open only.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right, happy enough then. Item 10.
Item 10 is, again, as part of our obligations under our equality scheme, as is the case with all public authorities, we must produce an annual progress report and present this to the Equality Commission. What we see before you is the annual progress report for the period 2016 to 2017, and it outlines what we've achieved in this period in terms of undertaking our statutory duty and commitments as outlined within our equality scheme. And it's really self-explanatory, Mr. Chairman. And I'm seeking for approval for it so that we can then submit that to the Quality Commission.
Do you want to propose in the second half of that? Do you want in the first answer, Chairman?
Yes, sir. Just a quick question. I appreciate that in the document it does state that given the head of corporate services has only been appointed, an action plan will be put in place. We are highlighting all of our great and wonderful stuff that we do, but we actually don't really detail the things that we're not doing. You know, when you read the report, you could easily point out a number of minorities within our district that aren't being worked with, and communities out there that we're not highlighting that we're doing great work with. And it would be great to understand what we're going to do to sort of feed in and work with that community group in the future, rather than just applauding ourselves and being so wonderful in these other areas.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Appreciate what the councillor is saying, Mr. Chairman. As is the case, it's always a work in progress, and every year we aim to do better. As well as that, also, we will have a policy equality officer in place for the next period, which will obviously enhance our capability to widen the scope of our application of the scheme.
I get a proposal and a second for that. Proposed, councillor, and second for councillor Sharma. All right, you're also taking item 11, report on the extension of the fire shop mobility scheme.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the predecessor down to the council agreed at a CMT meeting in October 2014 to initiate a one-year pilot shopability scheme in Newcastle at a cost of £7,000. It was via council reserves. Following consideration at SPR on the 16th of June 2016, it was agreed to further extend that to March 2017. The scheme's based in Newcastle, and I suppose in ways it relates back to the previous report that I've just tabled. It does show how we are trying to reach out and have a positive impact on people with mobility issues through, for example, experience and tourism and the beauty of the local area. What we're asking, Mr. Chairman, is that the scheme be extended up until the end of March 2018. There is money within the budget for this, and we're asking that we extend it until then.
Yeah. Paulus, Councillor Burns. It was interesting just to raise in the usage of that, which was very interesting. Councillor Burns.
Thanks, Chair. I completely agree with the scheme, but I want to make a slight amendment. I know there's a proposal in there already. A scheme that's running for its third year, and I don't want to be sitting there quibbling over semantics, but the word pilot has, if it's dropped, there's a lot of meanings to it. By keeping the name pilot, it allows the council an easy opportunity to get out of rolling it out across the district, because we're still looking at a pilot programme. And I don't know if other areas across the district have looked into it. I know we've noted it here in Newry, but we can just turn around to any group that would like to roll out across the district about it being a pilot programme. If it was started in 2014 and there's 60% raising it in this year, surely at this stage it shouldn't be pilot. And we're not going to see it going back to us, so I actually put in an amendment to drop the word pilot, actually make this a permanent shop mobility programme in the town, which allows other groups to roll it out. Might seem like, as I say, equivalent over semantics, but it has a huge meaning to keep the word pilot. So I propose that we drop the fact that this is a pilot programme, because under no sense can it still qualify as pilot.
Yeah. Chair, as second Councillor Burns proposes that, I think it's total agreement. You know, it's been going for a number of years now. The usage of it's increasing. It's £7,000 that we're always setting aside every year. And rather than always bring it back as a pilot, you know, it's being used, why not make it a permanent service in Newcastle? There's a demand.
If I could just come in, if we are going to make this permanent now, I would have to recommend to go out to a tender exercise on that, because the pilot arrangement that we had was with Shop Mobility, and my understanding is that we are getting a discounted price for that pilot scheme. So the recommendation that's come from the officers was to continue the pilot for the remainder of this year. We could then go out and tender for in 1 year's time, then, if that would be acceptable, or otherwise, it's a public tender exercise now.
Yeah, I understand there would be pros and cons with it, but I think at this point we can see in 3 years, and there is, as Councillor Shavin said, increase of 60%. At some point we're going to go out to tender, mm-hmm. And if we keep it as a pilot program, we're talking about a program that is actually benefiting people in Newcastle and tourism, and we're talking about tourism being one of the drivers in this, being the premier tourist destination. We've something that's working and doubling in the usage over a 3 year period, but we're still restricting other areas in the district from using it. So what we're saying here is, after the pilot program has run for 3 years, it is highly successful. It's something that we want to keep. By going out to tender, we can roll it out across the district in places like Newry, Warren Point, and Argyll Vale of this. If we keep it as a pilot program, it's just solely to Newcastle, and it's only playing with the word semantics just to keep it at a good, you know, 7,000 with shop mobility. We're going to roll this out at some point. There's no point in bringing it back. So we're talking about how successful it is, and I can see the point you're making, but I do think it needs to be rolled out across the district. We're always talking about issues in Newry Mourne Legacy Council that aren't rolled out across and down and vice versa. Well, here's a good scheme that's working, and it should be available across the district, so the proposal stands.
You know, I suppose just the other point I'd make, and again, I'm not, is that we only have 7,000 in the budget for this year. We'll take your amendment, but just to be clear that we've no guarantees of the contract price, just so that we're aware of that. We'll know that when we go out to tender, but so we would, if we could have your permission then to go out to tender on that, knowing that it'll not potentially not be included in the budget. But we can advise of that once we've run the tender exercise with no anticipation of what that would be.
The proposal and second are happy enough with that amendment, all right. So, agreed. All right. Jean, you're also taking item 12, of advertising agency service. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm asking permission from the members to go out for a tender for two different services. There'll be two separate tenders. The first is for the provision of our advertising agency services, and the second is for the tender of the provision of the graphic design services. I did go out this year for the provision of the graphic design services for 1 year. I now want to go out for 4 years. It's more efficient to do so. And the same with the provision of the advertising agency one as well too. There had been consideration at one time that we're bringing those services in house. That's not happening, and we have to go out now to tender for both services, the advertising agency services and the graphic corporate graphic design services, and they will be two separate tenders.
Right. Fair enough.
Harping on again about this, being able to use local businesses, and I've been able to get a wee bit of information from the trainer, although I haven't been able to find the documents where I have made my own notes. But there is there's social considerations that can be built into the tendering process, which will make it more favourable for local companies to do business with ourselves, and environmental considerations. So, you know, I want to ensure that we do build those into our tenders, to ensure that local businesses at least have an opportunity to do business with us, and again, making sure that local businesses are aware of how our tenders and process works, the hub and stuff like that.
That's taken on board, yeah. All right, do you want a proposal for that? Proposal and second for that? Propose. Councillor Morley. Second. Councillor Morley. All right. On to you, item 13.
Thank you, Chairman. This follows on really from the notice of motion was passed at the May meeting regarding the establishment of a health committee. I suppose after a reference back and discussion with the various political groups through the party leaders forum, the party leaders in conjunction with ourselves have come forward with proposals after discussion with the two trusts, and also update you, Chairman, in terms of the ambulance service. So the proposal is, and again, this reflects the issues that really come out of the health committee, is that, you know, a committee of council is a statutory body which has to be reflective of the political makeup of the council, and also can only involve members of the council who are still within the political parties. So on the back of that there, in terms of inclusive debate with the members, through the party reps, are recommending to the council to agree is that we have two meetings per year, which will be health themed, which will enable all members of council to have a discussion with the health trusts on the primary health care services within our area, and also other stuff. Additional meetings will be added in emergency arrangements, an ad hoc basis, whereby if an emergency arises, it can't be done on that. 6 weeks prior to the council's meeting, the council, and this will, the chairman of the council, will lead two workshops, working groups, which will invite members from the various health interest groups to the committee. These will be committee groups we know, but also will advertise on the basis to try and identify other health and wellbeing groups that are working in the area who wish to be involved. The membership of these groups will be reflective of the parties. There will be three Sinn Féin, three SDLP, one DUP, one UDP, one Alliance, and one Independent. And they will be constituted from each of the from the South area and the South East area. And we're identifying the Down Community Health Committee, the Daisy Hill Hospital Action Group, and representatives of the trade unions, and Daisy Hill and the Down Hospitals will also be invited to along to it. They will work together and put together an issues paper, which will then be tabled, sent to the trusts prior to them attending. The working groups are not decision-making bodies. They'll pull together the various information, which will then be put to the council. And again, the press will be invited to all the council meetings, and the documents from the various working groups will be tabled beforehand. I could also say, Chairman, since the paper has been produced. I've also spoken to the chief executive of the ambulance service to ask him to also participate, and he has agreed that he will work along with ourselves on this basis. The target is really to have the first theme council meeting in October, so on the last weekend of October, and that's the proposal coming forward, Chairman.
Councillor Bowen, do you have any?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, Liam, I'm just looking clarity on sort of how we deviated from a notice motion for the Health Committee, and there's one point that you'd made there that I just want to press in a wee bit. Because I'm aware that what we went with here on the notice of motion was on the back of a huge problem that we all agreed unanimously right across the council that it needed to be addressed, and it needed to be addressed through the right structures. But how we deviate between from what a motion that was passed to the paper that's presented now, and the information that took us from that point to this, is it solely on the fact that non-councillors, people that are not elected members of this chamber, cannot sit on the committee, is the only point to stopping it becoming a health committee? Because as far as I'm concerned, we can invite people to committees. I mean, the last ERT meeting, we had a number of people invited to make presentations and that. So if we have the power to invite members of the public to make representations at a committee, surely that's null and void. And if we are throwing out a motion for a health committee in basically what's needed on the basis of, you know, trying to get a mix of elected representatives and the right people from the public, then I don't think that fits. So a wee bit more clarity on why we've moved from the motion and to get to this point.
Again, Chairman, I can speak from an office perspective, but, you know, representatives of all the parties attended the party MEPS forum, which we had three meetings on this, including one meeting with the two trusts. So this isn't something that we have come up with. The issue is that a committee of council is a statutory committee. It must be reflective of the political makeup of the council. So if you start to work on the political makeup of the council, at some point in time, unless you have 41 councillors, you will leave some councillors out. So they won't have the same role as anyone else within the committee. So that's the first issue. Because if you go with 20, well then some of the independents will not get onto the committee. So if you want to have a committee, you can certainly also, any independent, the issue was to bring some people from outside the organisation onto a committee. Only the legislation says only one third can be non-councillors, non-public representatives. If that situation, they must also sign up to the code of conduct, which for members in terms of that there, and that could again create an issue. The other thing is to one third, so therefore that reduces the number of councillors onto it. So that discussion of the party reps, and again, I said this has been a discussion of the parties. The view was come forward that they wanted to make it as inclusive as possible. So therefore, rather than have a health committee, let us the council have a meeting on a regular basis with the trusts and the ambulance service, as the amendment was onto it, and that will enable every member of the council to have an equal say and be treated equally, you know, in terms of dealing with that there. The idea is to bring in the other non-political members into working groups whereby they can feed forward the information. That's the thing of the members, but I'm certainly, you know, I'm sure your party leaders forward that information back to you. I'm sure Mickey was at the meeting, Joe John has attended the meetings on to it, but we will know that we've had three distinct meetings on it.
Yeah, Liam, just on two of them points, you're talking about a statute committee and it has to be representative of the council. And also a thought of the councillors would be sort of left out in it. And I know the efficiencies working group works different. You know, everybody's invited in that. But see, of all the committees since I've been on council in 18 months that people have been invited to, that's not on the committee, very rarely do people, you know, they're not allowed to speak or have their input. And surely, as we've heard echoed right across the country, is health should not be political. And if health is not political, and whoever takes the chair on the health committee as it was formed would surely allow members that's not on the committee, as they can sit on other committees, to have their say. So I don't think it takes out two-thirds of the people on the committee.
Chairman, just to come back to that, first of all, is a committee of council, the chair of the health committee, if you wish to form a committee, the chair of the committee will be a Sinn Féin chairperson. I can tell you that now. It'll be an SDLP chairperson. What I'm saying to you is a statutory body. A committee is a statutory body. So therefore, on that basis, to have every member involved in the committee, right? If members are saying is that they want somewhere whereby the trust can engage with all the councillors. Then that's a council meeting.
Yeah,
you know, the point is that a committee, if you want to form a committee, only members of that committee can be councillors that are currently within parties. And indeed, depending on the numbers you have, when you come down, you drop off independence. So, for example, if you take the planning committee, you have no independence, you have no alliance, based on the numbers, also, because on the political strength, you don't get it. So you need to go to a full number of councillors to get everybody involved. That's the rationale for it.
Well, I think you're picking me up wrongly, because I don't. It's irrelevant to me whether it's a Sinn Féin chair of a health committee or it's an SDLP chair of a health committee. But what I'm saying is, through the structures that we have in a committee now, is it not fair to say that people, and it's happened tonight, it's happened, you know, in every committee meeting I've been on, that want to come and talk on an issue, it's at the discretion of the chair, and that's understanding of it. Surely that health is, it's not political, that you would have that across the board. What I'm simply asking for is, we don't take motions to council, nobody takes motions to council lately, and certainly not motions to council where it took the public out onto the street about an issue that is dear to them and dear to everybody here. We certainly can't be populist with ideas where we're promising something to the public, and then behind closed doors, we're changing it, and then for reasons that were unknown. Now, I'm not saying that this is not the right way to go forward. That's not what I'm saying. This might be the right way to go forward, but it has to sit side by side with a health committee and how we can achieve a health committee, or what it takes to achieve a health committee, and the hurdles that we need to jump across to get to there, and side by side with this proposal. We can't just jump from what was proposed in a motion and then say suddenly, you know, because of a few issues on who could sit on the board. We could easily get over that if we discuss it. I would rather this discussion to go from a motion to a working group, which I see as it is a bit a step between where the working groups, the hospital groups are now, where we have members of the public and we have councillors sitting on. It is a step between that, and it is great that you get the trust in twice a year and you're able to have that dialogue back and forth. But if we want to jump from that motion as it was put to council to this proposal here, let's do it in an open forum. Let's do it, you know, transparent. We debate why we can't. And I don't have the information why we've moved from the health committee to this paper. I don't have that information. And if it was sitting there, I'd say, well, here's an argument against that. And that's the point I'm making. I think it's too lately moving. And if we could do that, then what's the point in taking motions? So I think there needs to be more information on why a health committee cannot be. And we could sit here and say, well, fair enough. A health committee is not the way to go. It's costing too much, it's costing whatever. And we could get the same output if we go to these working groups, and this is more beneficial, and you know, we still have the same output. But if we have something to compare there and say, right, that is the right route, I'm not just saying hell bent on a health committee, but we can't change our mind from a motion with next to no information, you know, based on because it's too difficult or whatever. So there's not enough information there for me, is the point I'm making, and how we've moved from that motion so easily, it worries me. It worries me.
Well, Chairman, maybe I can answer a couple of them questions. First of all is, the notice of motion was changed on the night. There was no consideration, no examination of the motion. The members agreed to that there. They put it through. At the meeting, it was referred back to the party leaders group, which is a working party containing all members. The purpose of the party leaders group is the party leaders, which two representatives of Sinn Féin or SDLP attended each of the meetings. So again, you know, the whole idea was that, and we spent really from June, we had a meeting in June, we had a meeting in August, we had at least three meetings on this in terms of discussion on it. So again, it has been open and transparent in terms of all the members and all parties have been involved into it. The papers of the party reps meetings have been circulated in advance. So therefore, this is not something from officers. Again, I will say to you is that in terms of committees, you've got to remember committees to statutory body. The reason why we've moved here is you can set up a committee. The options paper that I brought to the members set out several options, of which the party reps considered as they were given the role to come forward with a recommendation how to deal with it. Part of them recommendations was you could set up a committee of 10, 20, 30, 40 members. But on that basis, then you must adhere to the legislation. So having scrutinised that, and the party reps having looked at that there, the option they felt best was to enable all members in an open, inclusive manner to have equal say at any investigation with the trust. And on that basis, they felt that this proposal was going forward. So This isn't just open and transparent. This has been the members come forward of it, but I'm happy to let any member that attended that take it forward.
Just come back to the 3 points that you made there, because that's not the claim I'm making in the open and transparency. You know, you're picking me up wrong there again. The motion was changed on the night, yes, and I accept it. You know, everybody sitting here, the 41 councillors that were sitting here on the night, had the option to talk on the motion that night, and I accept it's difficult to maybe go against it, and we can come back and discuss it out. But see if it takes at least 3 meetings, we're saying, we were talking about this to June, July, whatever. It has to take 3 to 4 meetings. It's difficult. It's a difficult issue, so we have to get it right. So it doesn't matter how long it takes. We must make sure that, and the openness and transparency that I'm talking about, is to ensure what the public think we're delivering on the back of public pressure, as well as outrage on the services. If what they think that we're sitting in here advocating on behalf of them, not on behalf of us, what they think we're delivering, we must be delivering. We cannot tell them on a night of a motion that's presented that we're going to deliver X, Y, and Z, and then suddenly come back and through a committee where there's nobody sitting here, have changed that and go back and say, oh, we couldn't. Let's, you know, debate it openly with the public. We're delivering what they have asked us. And if it does change, and this, as I say, if this isn't populism, if it does change, we can outline the arguments and say why we couldn't go for a committee. We can, I'm not saying that a committee is the best way. I think the route that we're going here, there's too many questions of how we've moved from a motion to this, and that's why I can't support it. So the openness and transparency is we are delivering what the public expects, and we are certainly not delivering what the public is expecting us to deliver here, and that's my problem.
So any other proposal?
Chairman, thank you very much. I know I'm not a member of this committee, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I suppose going back to what Liam said there, party representatives were met on numerous times to try and arrange structures for this. Within that, I'm sure Liam will go back and remember, at many times I questioned the legislation regarding this. To date, we have not yet been shown the legislation that is holding us in place. I've read through the legislation myself, and from what I would say is, there would be obviously a difference of opinion. I would be saying that we should be looking for legal opinion on this. We should be looking for legal opinion to see if we are within our right to do it, to see what would be the legal obligations of this council, given what we've passed. We've passed a resolution of council. So I would be advocating that we look at legal opinion and go to our solicitors, to be honest.
All right.
Chairman, I would propose what is in front of us. That's what...
I have a proposal and I have a second for that proposal.
Well, listen, just
no, I think it's an important issue. That's why I let you in four times.
It's an important issue. We mustn't be able to play the public on both sides, is what we're doing here. So if we're going to a proposal and we're sticking to this proposal,
I have a proposal
in the last for a recorded vote.
Have a proposal in a second. Oh. Yes, recorded vote, huh? Right.
I just want to make a comment on Councillor Ryan's comment there. We as a party never agreed to party reps. We've been against it from day one. And I think tonight actually shows that it doesn't actually work. You know, we sit here once a month for a council meeting that can last 30 minutes out, or maybe we've even been out in 15 minutes in the past, 30 to 45 minutes. There's no reason why we can't have these discussions in a forum where all councillors get an input.
Yeah, but you can withdraw Councillor Stokes from it if you want. He's helped that right.
And on, Chair, on that as well,
we haven't asked for a
recorded vote. All the stance you had in the motion. We can't talk on two sides of our match. Recorded vote, please.
Recorded vote on the contents of the report. Councillor Byrne on adopting the recommendation of the report. Councillor Dorn. Councillor Hertie.
Four.
Councillor Mernon. Councillor O'Murray.
Four.
Councillor Ruan. Councillor Sharvin. Everyone called?
Yeah.
For the proposal, 4 and against 3.
All right. You're also taking item 14, Liam.
Chairman, due to the arrangements at the appointment of chairs and vice chairs committee after the annual general meeting, there is one special responsibility allowance still to be allocated, as has happened over the last 2 years. The suggestion is that that arrangement is that 50% of that allocation is paid to the chair of the planning committee, and the remaining 50% is divided among other positions which receive SRA payments, and this be arranged with back date of the 1st of June 2017 at the annual meeting.
Thanks,
Chair. Yeah, is, I remember this coming up last year, and it was about a 50% gift to the chair and the rest between the rest of the special responsibilities, but does this allowance have to be used in an SRA, or can it be diverted elsewhere? Is it just only allowed to be used for SRA, or can it be diverted? Chairman, can I maybe ask that this be taken in committee? I read it yes. Regarding personal information and to give advice to the council.
So what are we going to do?
This item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3, part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. Information relating to financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and that the public may by resolution be excluded. So if I could ask any members of the public or the press to leave. Need a proposer and a seconder to go in the committee.
Proposed, that's a second. All right.
It's Katrina back, if I'm mistaken, yeah. Item 15. So you need to set up.
Chairman, the purpose of this report is to bring to members' attention the arrangements which have been put in place since the dissolution of the Local Government Staff Commission and the role of the Local Government Training Group within that. The Lisburn City Council has taken over the role of the Local Government Training Group, and as has been the case in the past, the Council has paid a subscription to the Local Government Training Group for to avail of training opportunities and the services provided through that group. The reason also for bringing this to members' attention tonight is that we have been asked to pay a levy, and the details of the levy are within the report. No provision was originally made for this because it was envisaged that the commission would be completely dissolved, and any over money left over effectively from that dissolution would be distributed to the councils. That has not happened, but similarly the council has not been able to avail of any subsidised training opportunities because this training group has not actually been set up until recent times. As such, we have money in the training budget which has not been used to date because of the lack of availability of that training. Therefore, the proposal, Chair, is to redirect money that is already within the training budget to pay the levy to the Local Government Training Group. So whilst the budget itself is not provided for within the estimates, the money is there to pay for this cost. And the recommendation to the committee, Chair, is to proceed on that basis.
Thank you. Mr. Sharman.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick question. Obviously, we're not signed up to this, so we don't necessarily need to pay the levy. And the second part of my question is the cost that has been quoted. Is that an increase on previous payments where we would have paid compared to what we're being asked to pay now?
Chairman, in terms of the first question, if we are signed up to this, yes, we are. We're one of the councils that has signed up to this. And secondly, in relation to the actual fee, it would represent a reduction on what was paid last year.
All right.
That's the e-learning element, Katrina, is that part of that fee, the stuff we got out last week, where we're going to be able to do our development on our iPads and stuff there?
Chair, Chairman, the e-learning itself at the moment, all of the costs have been paid for that. There's no additional cost. However, there are proposals certainly being considered presently with the local, through the local government training group for some modifications to e-learning, which would be required by the local government sector. Costs have been provided to the training group to do that, but no direct cost to the council at this point in time.
All right, we have a proposal for that. Proposal for item 15. Happy enough, Councillor Sharvin. All right, second by Councillor Moore. All right, item 16. Financial regulations. Who's taking that? Ken's taking that. All right.
Thank you, Chair. The financial regulations set out the main financial responsibilities of council and its officers and provides the framework within which the council's financial affairs are managed. This supersedes a set of policies and procedures which was agreed back in the shadow council days. The regulations reflect best practice and provide practical sources of advice to officers in the discharge of their duties. Any amendments to these financial regulations require the approval of this committee before directors can amend any existing regulations. I don't intend to go through the whole document line by line, but the document consists in section A, where the responsibilities of keeping the regulations up to date are set out. Section B sets out how we prepare our accounts and the operation of the accounting systems. In section C, we set out the role of internal audit. Section D, how we deal with fraud. In section E, we set out how we manage risk. And in section F, sets out the process of financial planning. In G, we set out the process of the financial management of the organisation. In H, we set out where new policy initiatives are dealt with and which committee is the proper committee for that new initiative. In section I, we set out the responsibility of the council for paying salaries, wages and pensions. In section J, we deal with how we order goods and for works and goods and services. In section K, we set out how we propose to manage the payment of our suppliers. In section L, we set out the responsibilities of council and how they deal with the multiple lines of income that we receive. In section M, we set out the process of treasury management. In section N, the responsibilities of insurance is set out. Stocks and the way we manage our stocks within our stores is dealt with in section O. How we manage our estates is dealt with in P. Section Q deals with how we deal with all the multiple petty cash boxes we have throughout the organisation, and in section R, how we deal with travelling and subsistence claims.
All right,
thank you.
Councillor Bourne, do you want to know that?
Yep, thanks, Joe. I suppose reading through the document, first of all, it's fantastic insight into the role of the Director of Corporate Services. You know, fair play. You know, the more I read, the more I was astonished. One question, Galena. The capital receipts, I remember this from the Efficiencies Working Group and we were talking about the capital programme, and especially when we were talking about the register of assets and asset surplus requirements that we're building now. And I know that the sale of them assets would have to be put back into the capital programme, and it does say the capital receipts can be used only for capital expenditure, but on that it also says debts and other liabilities including revenue expenditure funded from the capital under statute. Is that just still in the capital programme, where it was just moved from the capital programme for revenue and then has to be moved back? So it still is, because with my understanding that it was solely capital receipts were used solely for capital expenditure, and it's just one of the points in this, point two on it, it says and or debts or other liabilities. Is debts and liabilities got to do with the capital programme? Ken, sorry.
I just have to double check that for you, but my understanding is that the specification is that capital receipts need to be used for capital purposes.
Yeah.
So not strictly our capital program, but for capital
for
purposes.
Capital purpose,
so where
yeah.
we would have a debt against a building or another that was maybe not sitting currently in the capital
yeah.
program, that would be enough to satisfy the legislation. So it's a little bit wider. We were probably talking maybe just quite generally as part of the reassessment process with capital receipts we use for capital purposes.
Yeah.
So we can't use it for revenue purposes is really the big
I suppose that's the clarity I was looking, because
yeah.
on G30 we were talking about capital receipts for capital expenditure or debts and other liabilities. And I suppose that can be ambiguous. You know, that would actually change the way, you know, we look at different things when we're selling off buildings and assets, if you could move it over to revenue.
Yeah.
But revenue expenditure. But that, if you move money over from capital to revenue expenditure, it must go back. So it's still that debts and liabilities come from the capital.
Yeah, it's only those that are attached to capital assets. Yeah, so it's for capital purposes. But I think when we get to that point, Councillor, where we are potentially selling off surplus assets, that's where we'll delve into the legislation in some detail to make sure that before we would use any capital receipts, that we're very, very specific, you know, in what we can do,
yeah.
use them for. But these are all legislatively based, these regulations.
You turn off your light, can't you, Barney?
Just so I can go back in that.
What it says is debts or other liabilities, including revenue expenditure funded from capital under statute, which is REFCUS, which is only capital expenditure. Revenue expenditure funded.
Councillor Sharman.
Sharman, go ahead. Thank you, sir. I don't wish to correct the director in the possibility that we plan to sell off anything, not that we will have any surplus buildings, just in case we're being recorded. I have one question under G24, and it's around budget overspends that possibly is forecasted, and it's just for clarification of relevant committee is being where that directorate reports to that committee and not to FPNR or audit. And is this something that we're going to start doing going forward? Because I'm not mindful of any directors currently doing that. The only accounts that I see is the ones that are at the audit committee, and then those that are then informed to us at FCNR. Are the directors currently doing this? And then obviously corrective actions is where they are putting a plan together to rectify that, and we'll not always see that. So two questions: is the relevant committee being the director that they report to, being the committee? So Michael would be AHC, and then the forecast for overspend, where they have an action plan, would that be detailed to us, or would that just be them saying we're going to do that?
No, the paragraph it's maybe it's the way it's written. I can see how you're reading it, Councillor. All budgetary overspends and all corrective action to be taken in that regard will come back to the FPNR committee. The FPNR committee has in their terms of reference that oversight role on the finances of the council.
The second part, and it's maybe the as noted above, is probably not helpful. But directors must refer to the relevant committee any proposal to incur expenditure or vary income which is not included in the estimates and can't be covered by impairment. What that's really to refer to is, and it does happen, if during the year a matter arises in ERT where it hasn't been envisaged at the reassessment process, for example, Marie will bring a recommendation to the ERT committee to for a new project, whatever it is, and should state clearly in that report to the committee this is not estimated for, this is not budgeted for. So it'll go to that committee in that respect, obviously ratified by council, and then we will, through the efficiencies working group, advise of all of those before we start the reassessment process. So the SPNR committee, through that working group, will always be aware of any changes to that have taken place in other committees. But the SPNR committee has in its terms of reference and will retain that fundamental oversight role in the finances.
We have a proposal and a second for the report. Propose, Councillor Owen, second, Councillor Murray. All right, thank you, everyone, for attending. All right, Eileen, there's one item just before you close.
Just to report for the tape on the item on the, which was taken in closed session on the one outstanding special responsibility allowance. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Dorn by 4-3, that in line with arrangements made in 2015-16 and 16-17, 50% of one unallocated SRA be paid to the Chair of the Planning Committee, with the remaining 50% being divided among the other positions which receive SRA payments, and this arrangement be backdated to 1st June 2017, an amendment by Councillor Byrne and Councillor Murnan. Having been defeated by vote.
Right. Chair.